made by them, and a certain hype has been created also for CD-ROM. For instance, in the upper left, you see Goodbye Gutenberg. That's an exaggeration. Books are here to stay, newspapers are here to stay, magazines are here to stay. And I don't like something else about this, because Gutenberg was is the German claim to fame of the gentleman that invented the book print press, and the Dutch claim that it was a Dutchman, but the Germans won. The Germans seem to have won this one, so let's stick with this. But there is indeed a little bit of a hype. But one of the most significant events which really put CD-ROM on the map was a conference which was held in the beginning of March of this year in Seattle, Washington, and it was organized by Bill Gates, the chairman of the Microsoft company, one of the largest software companies in the world, I guess. And he staged a CD-ROM conference, which really was an enormous success, because it showed people what the technology could do, what it was capable of doing. There were many demonstrations, many new announcements of major companies announcing that they were going to publish indeed on CD-ROM. And the exhibitions were very, very interesting. And I hope that my colleague Matthew was able to put one of our demos together, which is an entire encyclopedia on a disk. And that's the Grolier Electronic Encyclopedia. Now, what is fascinated about this is that, first of all, this encyclopedia consists of 21 volumes and is about this wide in terms of books. They put it on the disk, indexed, with a very sophisticated indexing scheme, and it only occupies 20% of the real estate on this disk. So you could actually put the encyclopedia on there 5 times if you wanted to. And but that's only one important aspect. The other important aspect, of course, is the keyword search. And as Matthew will hopefully demonstrate to you after my talk in the separate room, the most important thing is the keyword search. If I, for instance, want to look up John F. Kennedy, I can type in Kennedy, and I get many references, all the references to Kennedy in the entire encyclopedia, which is probably 360 references. Right away, I can get them, and I can also get a list of where the references are. Well, it's impossible to search 360 Kennedys, so I narrow my search. I say John F. Kennedy, and I say Dallas, because I want to know more about Kennedy and Dallas. I'm just using this as an example. And within 1 second, I now find out that John F. Kennedy was murdered in Kennedy and in Dallas, and that there's a whole article on that particular subject. So it goes indeed very, very fast. And if I was going to read an encyclopedia, it would take me many, many months to really find all the references to a particular topic. Other companies are using the technology for completely different things. Here is a company called Disclosure. They have a financial database on the compact disc. They have all the companies listed on the exchanges and listed with the Security and Exchange Commission on a disc. So if I want to look up my company, North American Philips Corporation, within seconds I have the entire history of the company, the sales, the financial ratios, the corporate officers. And all that information I can search. I can search through by putting in Philips. I can search by type of business we are in, electronics or electrics. I can search by name. If I want to know who is the president of North American Philips, I can put in that name, and within seconds I can find that. And it's all on one disk. And they have been very successful so far in selling that. You can imagine the enormous power of that, because no longer am I required to phone a particular database by telecommunications. No, I have the entire database on my desk, and I can update that as often as the database requires. Well, if it's a daily update, We're not that far yet because 3M has announced a 3-day turnaround time, and that is basically where we are today, although I am not afraid that that turnaround time indeed will be shortened even in the future. But if I need monthly updates or even twice a month, then that is entirely possible and therefore very important. Standard & Poor introduced a database on compact disc. The president of McGraw-Hill, chairman, executive officer, an officer, a gentleman by the name of Joe Dione, held a conference today, a couple of weeks ago, in the McGraw-Hill building on 6th Avenue, and he told his employees that were involved in electronic publishing, gentlemen, we're here to discuss CD-ROM. I do not want you to evaluate the technology, because I already did that, he said. I want you to go out and publish on CD-ROM, and I want you to go out and do the best possible job. And that's McGraw-Hill. So the Standard & Poor and the Shepherd's law citations, etc., are all going to be on CD-ROM. Dialog, Meet Data Central, other online companies that present their data today through online services have already decided to go to CD-ROM. Major telephone companies. Very nice to have all the telephone numbers of New England and New York and New York City and New York State plus the New England states on one disk. And I can search for your phone number just by putting in the number, and right away I know you know where you live and what you you know and what your address is and whether you have paid your bills. And you can imagine the IRS is very interested. That's bad news for all of us, I think. The most important thing, as Vivian also mentioned to you, is that the CD-ROM is based on worldwide standards. Now, a gentleman asked a very good question here before, and he said, well, I've heard that the standards are not totally complete. He is absolutely correct, because when Philips and Sony got together, we only really organized and standardized the so-called physical standards. What the media should look like, what the drive should be capable of doing, the error correction, very powerful error correction schemes, as you can imagine, because with audio, we can interpolate. You cannot interpolate data. You have to be exact. That's why we introduced a third layer of error correction. All of that was standardized, but the so-called logical layout on the disk and where exactly the information could be found was not standardized. Also working with different operating systems, like you have MS-DOS, you have Unix and other operating systems, all had to work with the same logical layout and logical structures and vertical tables of contents on the disk. And that is why a group of very clever people got together, representing very small, this is very interesting, representing really very small companies, startup companies, companies with 5-6 people, and huge companies, like Digital Equipment Corporation, and IBM just joined. And it is interesting to see, and really unprecedented in the American computer industry, that these people got together. And they all had worked on this, but they said, let's, you know, forget about all our own interests and egos, etc. Let's really work together to get this completed. And that is called the High Sierra Group. I believe it was named after the room where they got together for the first time in the West Coast. And this group is indeed almost there. As a matter of fact, they're going to meet again on April 28th. And they will have a draft, and they will finalize the draft, and then it will be introduced to the world and to the official standard-setting committees, indeed like NISO and others. So this is very important, because now, no matter where we make the disk, whose drive we use, whose mastering equipment or file structures we use, all disks, just like CD audios, will play on everybody else's equipment. And that was indeed, the logical file structure was indeed one of the last remaining things that needed to be standardized, and that is now complete. Turnaround time, it's very important. I can imagine that you have a database, you want to put it on a disk, you have to update that database. For that, you need turnaround time. And 3M today has a turnaround time already announced of about 3 days. So if I send my 9-track computer tapes, as Vivian described, to 3M, 3 days later, I have my 50 disks or 100 disks, whatever I decide I need. And that is, of course, very important because a lot of the databases that we work with today are volatile, so that the turnaround time is important. Mastering and replication, of course, it is important to know about CD-ROM that we don't have to invent anything anymore because everything is already here because of CD audio. Plans are being introduced all over the world right now to master and replicate these discs because since a lot of you do own CD audio players at home, you also know that you're not always able to get your favorite discs yet, and that is simply because there is not enough capacity. In our plant in Hanover in West Germany, which is the largest plant in the world today for CD audio, we already made so far 50 million discs, and we are now at a 50 million rate on an annual basis. We're going to double that capacity, and as you may have read in the papers, Philips and the DuPont company introduced last September a brand new joint venture in optical media, which is the largest non-energy joint venture that DuPont has ever made. And we're going to open a plant in Kings Mountain, North Carolina, where we also will have a plant to make 50 million of these discs a year and many more thereafter. And this has to be a company by 1990 of already close to $1 billion. I'm just mentioning these things to you to show you that companies like Sony, like Mashusta, like Philips, like 3M, like DuPont, and major companies have a commitment to optical technology. So this is not something that will go away tomorrow. Data preparation, that is very important. You have to format your data in a certain way so that it is acceptable for us to master the disks. And Vivian already talked a little bit about that. That is something that will become more important in the future. We, Philips, are working with a company called Video Tools, a very small but very clever organization in the West Coast, and they have introduced the CD publisher. What you do is you send your data to this company and they will process it through this machine, which is based on an IBM AT and not on a very expensive digital equipment VAX machine, for instance, but at a very acceptable value, where you can test the data, where you can exactly simulate on magnetic media, on tape, on a hard disk, what you can expect when the disks come back to you. And it also will serve as a simulator and as a quality control procedure, so that you will not be surprised when the disks come back from Philips or from 3M that there are mistakes in them. And this has already met with quite a bit of success, and the first CD publishers are being sold today. So we're taking the mystery out of publishing on CD-ROM. It will become more and more economic in the future, and it will become more easier. And this is, you know, the path. This slide shows the path. Here is your 9-track tapes, your books, your floppies, your microfiche and microfilms, your paper, and you can submit it to a machine which will then produce 9-track computer tapes, and then it goes to Philips or 3M or other companies that are in the business of mastering and replicating discs. So it is no longer really that mysterious and difficult to do anymore. As I said, it simplifies the pre-mastering procedure and it minimizes the testing time, and it is also a very cost-effective tool because I do not require very expensive tools. And here are some of the areas where we think the CD-ROM will be effective. Reference materials, education and training, of course, online databases I already mentioned to you, software publishing, archival storage. Well, the list goes on and on. We just put a few on there. Software retrieval is important because once you have a large database, you want to get to the information really fast. For that, you need a retrieval software program. There are several excellent ones on the market. The one we are going to show you later on the encyclopedia was done by a company called ActiVenture, now known as KnowledgeSet. Very clever people who have this indexing scheme and this very fast retrieval software. But there are many other that's a free text-based software retrieval system, but there are many more less complicated ones when the entries, the field entries are only 10 or 12, and you want to search to your database this maybe through 12 different angles, like a gentleman's name or a person's name, his address, the town he lives in, his phone number, etc. And those software retrieval programs are now available, and when you work with people like us, you will get that information from us, so we can help you to set up and start publishing on CD-ROM. Well, this really completes the end of my story. I'm glad to know that there are some publishers and information providers in the room, because you're the most important key, really, to the success of CD-ROM. You know, in my former job, I worked with Norelco, which was another division of Philips, and I sold a product, and I have a slide of it. You may remember it. It's a shaver, and it is a piece of hardware. But the nice thing about selling the shaver, and I think with envy of my days when I worked on that, was that the software was always available, because every man between the age of 12 and 100 and something, and it's rumored even some women, have what we call hair, and it was there. Simple, but with the CD-ROM, we have a piece of hardware, but you have to provide the software. So thank you very much.
Before we start taking questions, let me remind you that in what we call the green room, which is a room right next door, you go out the doors and down the hall where the restrooms and telephones are, and there's two doorways there. Inside that room is a complete CD-ROM setup, and Mr. Moose went to a lot of trouble to bring it here, and so the people that are interested, he will see you down there in just a few minutes. But do we have any questions first?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead. I'll get back to you next.
Okay. Steve, I mentioned some databases that for dispersion, databases and dialogues, which is probably updated on a weekly basis, right?
Yep.
And that's the whole importance of having them online. Now, I understand that having it in a central computer access to a terminal.
Yes.
If you're producing it in CD-ROM, and with a 3-day turnaround time, you would just constantly, unless I'm
saying. No, you're absolutely right.
Sending it in and having a 3-day. So basically, every week, you'd be getting a weekly
CD-ROM,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that is true, and it's a very good point. So a lot of these companies, the online companies, are what they now refer to as hybrid systems, whereby they continue to provide information online, particularly the updates, and then, however, the basic data is then provided on disk. So if you would like to search certain information, you can do that on disk, and it doesn't cost you a hell of a lot, because once you have bought the disk, you can play with it as long as you want. But then when you want the most recent information, the most recent update, you can still then do that through the regular online system. And you use the same computer, because it's all IBM PC based, practically.
I'm just thinking,
I know some of the other things, like something like disclosure, almost entirely do that as disclosure. Disclosure, I think, updates on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
And that's enough, because the information is not refreshed more frequently than once a month from the SEC. So that's perfectly fine with them, and they are very comfortable with that turnaround.
But there's no way to update it onto the CD-ROM?
No, it's CD-ROM, it's read-only memory. Yeah. Yes, sir, I think you were next.
I have a person that mentioned the archivability earlier, along with one other person. And I answer three states on it. We are involved in archival storage, audio material.
Yes. Yeah.
Are probably as excited as you were enthusiastic about presenting this to us. However, from a bottom line point of view, would you be willing to allow us to write specs in that guarantee that you've done studies in terms of how long these are going to be and give us a minimum time?
How long? What's going to be?
How long these things may last?
Last. Okay, that is.
I've got to go to the administrator, and so does everyone else. Our people say, "Look, this looks exciting. We're not arguing that."
Yep.
And if, I know you can't make that commitment, but do you think Philips or 3M or Sony would be willing to talk to the archival community and come up with minimum standards
yes.
for that?
Yes. We already have guaranteed the lifetime of a disc for 5 years, and we are thinking of extending that to 10 years. The reason why we can go beyond that is that we simply do not know how much we can really simulate live tests to be accurate and guarantee it for longer than 10 years, because the discs simply haven't been around that long. But from what we know and from studying very in lab environments, the earlier discs that were made, we are very, very confident that the lifespan of the disc can even reach much beyond 10 years. But you understand from a legal point of view, if you have to guarantee that, then you would like to have more research, because if I guarantee your database and you come back to me many years later and you said, well, it's you know, you made that guarantee, then I would be in trouble. So I would be very, very accurate. Also, I may mention, Vivian mentioned the Jewel case, which is the plastic container where you today buy your CD audio discs in. That will be replaced in the future by a cartridge, so that the disc will be permanently sealed in a cartridge. I put the entire cartridge inside the new players, and I will take it out, and it will stay, and the disc will stay in there. So I will protect those discs much better, and I can take the disc out and still put it in the old player, so the old players are not obsolete. But data integrity is therefore further enhanced.
Would you be then willing to give us the name of the people to get in contact with and follow up on this?
Yes, of course. Yes, sir. Is your green?
CDI.
Yes.
What are the prospects for that?
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question, because a lot of people ask that question. And CDI stands for, by the way, Compact Disc Interactive, which is basically an extension of CD-ROM and is primarily geared for the home environment, whereby where Sony and Philips have agreed on certain standards to not just have text and graphics on a disc, but also video, still pictures, and different levels of audio. As you can imagine, you can have close to 72 minutes of CD formatted audio on a disc, but that doesn't mean that it is the limit of the CD audio. If I choose a narrower bandwidth, then I can have close to 30 hours of audio on a compact disc. But I simply would not have the same quality of audio. I would have telephone quality audio, and there are 16 different levels and steps of the level of audio that you can choose from, and there are different steps of graphics and video that the electronic community now has agreed on. But it is basically a thrust that you should imagine for the consumer, because the consumer only wants one box. He does not want to toy perhaps with computers and floppy disks. He just wants to have a box put in the disk and, you know, be interactively engaged with the material that is pressed on the disk. But that is still a little bit off. Basically, what was announced at the Microsoft conference, to answer your question, was that Philips and Sony had in principle agreed on a standard. The standard has not been issued, and no hardware is available in the foreseeable future. Yes, sir.
Processing, the obtaining things, and so on. Now, imagine, is it possible to store the stamper itself and use it a number of years later?
If you took the sample,
yes,
it is a metal, nickel metal, and kept it like in the Philippines, where they're suggested doing this with a national archive.
Yep.
Yeah, that you were involved in that. Storing it in an inner atmosphere, they expected that those would have a very much longer lifetime, probably simply because the nickel an inner atmosphere will not degrade to the same degree, provided the temperature is reasonably controlled. So if one wants longevity, provided one can be certain of having three pressings 20 years later, for instance, from the stampers, or generate new stampers from reading this present stamper, one could go through the process again.
Idea.
It's simply a matter of storing the data.
And we do that. We do that. We have a huge room in Hanover, we haven't set it up in the US yet, but we will with the new joint venture. I'm sure that 3M can do it as well. Is that to have a room set up with certain climatic temperatures where the stampers can be stored, and we just simply charge you a storage fee?
Yes, but not 2,000 per year.
Excuse me?
Not 2,000.
No, of course not, because then you would be better off making a new stamper. Right. Yes, sir.
Video, the optical disc differ from video.
That is a good question.
It's one of a family.
Yes, how
does
it differ? Are they the same?
No, they're not the same. The video disc is basically a way that where the information is stored in an analog fashion, because moving video is much. And the compact disc is a digital format. And the reason why that is that if you would if you would go to an analog fashion on this compact disc, you wouldn't get too much moving video on it, at least not today, because moving video consumes an enormous amount of bits and bytes. And simply it's not, therefore, it's both, what they have in common is both optical media and the procedure to make them and to burn the holes and the nickel plating and the sputtering and all those things are the same, but this is a digital format, whereas the 12-inch video disc is an analog format. So it's basically very different.
But it's digitalized analog.
Yes, right.
Excuse me. There's another session that's scheduled, and we can bring all these questions in the green room if you like. Again, I suggest that you avail yourself of this opportunity, because it's not something that you're going to see. So I'd like to thank all my technical panel guests. Well, there's some people who are interested and others who are not. So once again, thank you, and we'll see you next year.